Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The Oscars of the food world, a.k.a. the 2018 James Beard Awards, will be taking place tonight in Chicago. And this year, the Me Too movement has come to the restaurant world. The James Beard Foundation, for the first time ever, mandated that nominees must exemplify respect, diversity, and equality, as well as being amazing chefs. And this year, finalists include more female nominees than ever. Chef Tiffany Faison is one of them. She is the head chef and owner or co-owner at Sweet Cheeks Q and Tiger Mama, both in Fenway, and a former Top Chef finalist. And she's also a finalist for the James Beard Award for the Best Chef in the Northeast. And she joins us from Chicago. Hi, Tiffany.
Thanks for having me, Meghna.
All right. So first of all, what does it mean to you to be included in this year's nominees? Or finalists, I should say.
Yeah, I don't even know if I have words. It's just this, you know, group of people that you've admired forever. It's a party I've never been invited to before, figuratively and literally. And it just feels like you've arrived to a place that you didn't even know you could get to.
Oh, really? Well, maybe a lot of us thought that you could get here for sure.
Well, I gave up a long time ago, so I appreciate you guys keeping the faith.
Well, and also, so this year, it comes at an interesting time for the James Beard Foundation itself, right? Because mm-hmm. they made a point to call for judges to consider behavior in the kitchen, which I don't think they'd expressly done before, right?
No, they haven't previously done that. And it was really refreshing to see. I think there was a New York Times article that sort of called out whether that was something that could be judged or whether, you know, if it was too subjective. Ultimately, like, isn't food subjective as well? In some ways, how good our food is more subjective than how we treat our employees and who we are as people.
Okay, so tell me more about that, though, because the James Beard Foundation is saying that they're trying to take meaningful steps forward to end a culture of silence and complicity that's allowed really terrible behavior in the restaurant industry to proliferate.
Right. You know, it's interesting. There's a little bit of like snarkiness of like, oh, it's the lady year that's happening, which is ridiculous, right? So they are moving forward as an organization to say how it's been for all of these years can no longer go forward. It can't be this way anymore. So it's not about having women on the list because we need a ton of women. It's really about being thoughtful and intentional about the women that need to be honored for their work that have been largely ignored for a long time.
Yeah. So take me to the level of how you run your kitchens, because, I mean, what would you say your leadership style is like?
I mean, it is the intention of the owner and the chef, 100%. It's, you know, fish rots from the head down. So for my wife and I own our businesses together, and this is what we say. If we ever have someone behaving in a way that we don't think is respectful or dignified to the person that they're behaving towards, we just bring them in. And one of the things I'll always say is, if you think as a woman and as a queer woman, I have worked this hard to get here to open a restaurant so that you can treat someone poorly, you're missing it. You're missing all of it. So it starts there, right? Understanding that the things that I've been through, things that my wife has been through, and all of the hurdles that have been more difficult for us. So what we do day in and day out is remove those hurdles.
Yeah. So, I mean, your approach now, though, it has to have been informed by your experiences coming up in this industry. I mean, you worked in a couple of pretty tough kitchens.
Oh, yeah. A few really tough kitchens. Yeah. And
can you tell me about some of your experiences?
I mean, sure. From like having a hot pan thrown at me with like literally with oil in it that went all the way down my arm because my chef was upset about I don't even remember what to, you know, I remember when I first started working at Daniel Ballou's restaurant in the Wynn, it was like our first day and we all got our packets where we were given our, you know, our station and our whatever. And everyone opened their packets and at that point I was the chef de partie on fish, which is a difficult station. You lead the fish station. And I had some kid come over from Garmage and he was like, hey, you want to trade? And I thought, like, he was a line cook and I was already like two positions above him. And just that like blind ignorance of like, hey, you want to trade? Like, no, I've worked my butt off for this.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the terrible irony is that the restaurant industry, especially the level that you're at, I mean, part of the popular culture around these restaurants is one, I mean, you've written about this, that celebrates that kind of behavior in its chefs. I mean, how many TV shows do we have now where a really impossible to deal with male chef is seen as like the savior of the kitchen?
Has been able to build an empire off of being impossible, difficult, abusive. And women don't even get close to that. And then there's conversation, there's side eye. Well, you know how difficult she is. You know how she can be. That conversation that happens on the side. And that happens in our industry. That happens in business conversations. And more specifically, I know, I think restaurants are very similar to Hollywood in this way, where the outside perception is we are so inclusive and we're this big family that values diversity and makes sure that everyone is brought into the fold. And the numbers will tell you that that is not the case. So it's really, I think the refreshing and great part of what's happening right now is that the behavior is being forced to change and we are being forced to put the numbers in front of the beliefs we purport to have.
Yeah. So do you mind if I ask, I mean, obviously you have very strong feelings about running a kitchen at high standards. We have to acknowledge that. Very high standards, but also in a humane, respectful way.
Right.
So that's the real Tiffany Faison. But what happened then?
One of them.
What happened then on Top Chef? Right? Because you were like, what was it, the first ever season of Top Chef? You were supposed to be, or at least the way they cut the show, you were like the villain.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I feel like I've been on an apology tour for the last 10 years, like, you know, essentially apologizing for my behavior when my behavior wasn't really the problem. Look, I was a young cook. I was 28, and it's a highly competitive, bizarre environment. Was I 100% perfect the entire time? No. But I'm at a point in my career where I can look back and both, A, accept responsibility for being harsher than I should have been in some ways, coming straight out of those abusive kitchens. You know, you take on a lot of that demeanor. And so I hadn't quite shaken that yet. But at the same time, like just letting myself be forgiven and forgiving myself and letting all the guilt go for maybe not being the kindest, most expected sweet little thing that women are expected to be. And so, you know, I was a professional chef. I was hungry, young, and put into a highly competitive environment. And so
can I just jump in here? Because I think what you're saying, it applies to any field. And
right.
And there have got to be countless women listening to this. And I'm raising my hand among them who, like, when you're starting off and you really want to prove yourself and your abilities, right? Like, it's like, look at what I can do and try not to get in my way.
Right.
And, you know, and things like that. Like, there's a drive there that I think, especially when we see in women, sometimes other people, you know, it's interpretive as abrasiveness. So I guess what I asked you the question about Top Chef out of a sense of solidarity and feeling.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. And I think the more important thing, Tiffany, is, as you said, you've had to spend years apologizing for behavior that would seem utterly normal coming from a man.
Right. And so, more to your point, the conversation shouldn't be about the women that are pushing in their careers, that are aggressive, that are trying to put themselves, you know, in a position to rise and to do well in their careers. The conversation should be about the palatability, about people's perception of women when they are at the forefront of pushing through their careers. That's fine. That shouldn't be seen as, you know, difficult. That shouldn't be seen as something that's unpalatable or untenable for women. That cannot be the standard anymore.
Yeah. So how do you think the restaurant industry can take meaningful steps forward then in creating, you know, cultures of respect, fairness, et cetera, in kitchens across the board?
I think the easy answer is we have to look out for each other. We have to speak well of each other. We have to support the people that are doing it well and have hard conversations with the people that aren't. You know, it's hard because I was having a conversation with a very well-known woman in the industry that's also on television. She said, I don't care when I walk into a restaurant how the chef is treating his staff. I care what's on the plate. That can't be. That can't be any longer. I think we do have to care. And I don't expect guests to be doing a, you know, deep dive research into, like, who, you know, where they're eating and how that chef is treating their staff. But I think the people that they do know that are supporting each other, that are leaders in the industry, that are standing at the forefront of change, support those restaurants. Because ultimately, and I hate to say this, but it all comes down to money. Yeah. So, you know, of all the restaurants that have and all the chefs that have been called out, it would shock you how busy some of the restaurants still are. It shocks me.
Hmm. Wow. Well, last question then. Let's take us back to why you're in Chicago tonight.
Yeah.
You've got some incredible competition, and I want to just do a tip of the hat. Karen Okonowitz from Myers & Chang, Tony Messina from Uni, Cassie Puma, Sarma. It's a great group that's been nominated here as finalists. So
it's a great group. Cassie and Karen are just the most incredible chefs. I'm so thrilled to be here with them. Tony's the same, really great guy. Love them all. It's a really nice group.
And so how are you feeling confident, though? I mean,
it's like vomit inducing. I've been so nervous today, and I didn't think I would be. I just like, no, I'm just going to come and have a good time. I'm going to enjoy this. And I have just been like a bag of nerves all day. Ultimately, I'll be thrilled for any one of the people in our category to win. Whoever it is, I will be the loudest cheerleader in that room tonight.
Well, Tiffany Faison, speaking to us today from Chicago, she's head chef and co-owner at Sweet Cheeks Q and Tiger Mama, both in the Fenway. And she's also a finalist for the James Beard Award for Best Chef in the Northeast. Thanks a lot, Tiffany.
Magna, thank you. So nice to chat with you.
You know, no matter who wins, we all win, because that's a bunch of great chefs here in the greater Boston area. So good luck to you all. That's it for today. I'm Magna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.